name is Lawrence Wilson. Welcome to a study through the book of Hebrews. And as we continue through this last chapter of the book of Hebrews, we see some more just little encouragements that the author throws in at the end as we continue reading in verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So now he turns the focus away from everyone in the church's mutual love and concern for each other towards the way that we look at and think about the leaders in our church, right? So he says, think about them. They speak to you the word of God, or they have spoken to you the word of God before, hopefully. He says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. This is a key thing that those who are leaders in the church, first of all, should take heart, because they should know that the people in the church are being commanded to imitate their faith. So I feel like that should put it into the heart of the leaders to have a faith that is worthy of imitating. But it also tells us that, you know, obviously everybody wants to imitate Jesus Christ. Obviously, everyone as a Christian, the goal is to turn your eyes to Christ. And the author of Hebrews has said that prior to this chapter, that we should be focused on Christ and becoming more like him. But Paul, even at one point, I believe in Corinthians, says that he asked those believers to be imitators of him as he was an imitator of Christ. So it's not that we are worshiping the church leaders or we're looking to them as like they're some super spiritual or super amazing special person, but that they are to set the example for us as leaders. That's what leaders should do. They set the example. And so he said we should look to them for an example of how we should live, what we should do in the faith as they speak the word of God to us. He then tells us, in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is important, right? Don't, because some people out there are looking for some new understanding, right? Well, I have this deep new understanding that other people perhaps have no one before interpreting or reading the Bible has understood this. That's not good. Okay, that's usually a sign of false teaching, which he goes into then. He tells them, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, right? Don't let somebody come in and say, well, I've got a new revelation from the Lord. I've got something new that nobody's heard of before. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The gospel is the same yesterday and today and forever, right? We need to understand the message of Christ is always the same. So in the process of him encouraging us to imitate the faith of our leaders, he also warns against this false teaching that might creep in, proclaiming some new teaching, some new revelation, some new doctrine, right? And he says, no, Jesus Christ is the same. You can count on him to be the same as what he has always been. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. By this, when he says foods which have not benefited them, he's talking about, again, Old Testament religious practices, the things laid out in the law. The priests ate the meat that was given to them as an offering, that they burned up as an offering, as sacrifices, that he says, you know, let's not try and turn back to this old way, this food which didn't actually do anything helpful for the people who were making these offerings. Verse 10, he says, because we have an altar from which those who serve the tent or tabernacle have no right to eat. The priests have no right to eat anything that is sacrificed on the true altar that is in heaven, right? So there's no one gets to enjoy or benefit from eating any sacrifice that was made in that regard, right? Jesus Christ offered himself as a sacrifice for us. He poured out his blood on the temple that is in heaven. We've looked at that earlier. No one gets to eat anything that comes from that sacrifice. Verse 11, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. In fact, the specific sacrifice that has been mentioned in this passage, in this book, multiple times, of the Day of Atonement, nobody ate any of the meat that came from that sacrifice because they took the blood, they poured it out at the altar, they sprinkled it on the mercy seat inside the most holy place, but they took the bodies of those sacrifices outside of the camp and burned them, right? And this symbol, this was a symbol of taking it outside the camp, of saying this is being rejected by God and by all the people because it's bearing their sin. It's carrying all the sin. So it does not belong anywhere near God's presence, right? It was sacrificed, burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. So again, Jesus Christ's blood goes in, sprinkled on the true mercy seat in heaven, poured out at the true altar before God, but he suffered outside of the city of Jerusalem. They took him outside the city. He suffered outside as a reject, as an outcast, because even the Jewish people at that time realized, we don't want this as a stain on our civilization. This is dirty business. This needs to be put outside the camp. What's the point of all this? Verse 13, therefore, let us go to him, that would be Jesus, outside the camp and bear the reproach that he endured. So when we approach Jesus, we need to understand that we are stepping outside the camp. Again, this symbol being that we are stepping into the place of rejection, the place of shame, the place of hardship, right? Let's not get caught up in, he says, some new teaching that says, oh, well, the Christian life is really easy. You shouldn't be suffering. In fact, you should be getting all of these blessings. Or in the case of these Hebrew believers, that someone was teaching them that you could turn back and follow the old Judaistic way of life and still, you know, earn some favor before God and still earn your way towards heaven through following the law. You don't need to just say, let's have faith in Jesus and do this the hard way. But the author of Hebrews is reminding them, you know, Jesus was rejected. To follow Jesus means that we will also be rejected. You know, let's go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach or the shame that he endured. Let's be rejected even as Christ was rejected. Right? We're talking about following our leaders, imitating our leaders, Jesus Christ being the ultimate leader. He said, so let's follow him in that. Let's follow after his example. Verse 14, for here on this life, in this earth, we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. As we've already seen in Hebrews 11, Abraham and some of the other patriarchs, some of the other people in the Old Testament, they did the same thing. They were not looking for the city on earth. They were looking forward to the future heavenly city. So he said, we should do the same. Let's not think that our lifetime now is about peace and comfort. That will come later, right? But in the process of us seeking the heavenly peace and comfort, the heavenly rest that comes in Christ, we may be going through difficult times. So in verse 15, he says, through him then, through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Not like these Old Testament sacrifices. Let's not go back and offer the sacrifices like they were offering, right? Let's offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That would be the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. We praise, we worship Christ, not just on Sundays. We are to make worship of Jesus, worship of God, a part of everything that we do, our daily life, our daily habits, that we offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. And then he says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So we praise God, we worship God with our lips, with our mouth, with our words. That's a part of our sacrifices now to God. He says we are to do good to others. That's a part of our sacrifice to God now. And we are to share what we have with others. These are all a part of our sacrifices. Again, these are things as well that we should be able to imitate the faith of our leaders as they imitate the life of Jesus Christ and the words and the actions of Jesus Christ, who again was crucified outside the camp. He was rejected. We should understand that we may also be rejected or persecuted because of our lifestyle, because of what we're doing. And yet he says, let us go to him outside the camp and endure the reproach that he endured. I hope and pray that something said here today ministers to your heart, and that you share it with those around you. Thank you.